90 minutes converted to 60 minutes tape. This is the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the interview of Philip Chow, number 107, by Beverly Chan and his son Gordon Chow. This is tape one. Notch filter at 240 hertz, roll off above 3 kilohertz.
Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by UCLA Asian American Studies Center and Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. June 22nd, 1980, an interview with Philip Chow at his home in Torrance, conducted by Gordon Chow and Beverly Chan.
Mr. Chow, can you tell me where your parents are from?
Do you want the province?
Yeah. The province, Guangdong, the
Guangdong and Huiping and Dongxingli.
Dongxingli.
Yeah.
I noticed you wrote some.
What?
Other
Hingang. That's the town. Yeah, Hingang.
Hingang.
Hui. That's the city.
Oh,
you know, the township.
I see. Okay. And that's also where you were born?
Yes, I was born.
What's your Chinese name?
Zhao Yuqing.
And what is your father's background and occupation?
Well, he was a Canadian merchant.
Canadian?
Yeah. He went to Canada when he was a child. Well, not exactly a child, when he was young. I would say in his early 20s.
Oh.
He went over there as a businessman.
Uh-huh.
And he was there for over 40 years.
What kind of business?
He was in the restaurant and grocery business.
Oh, interesting. Were there many people in his village who went to Canada, or was he the only one?
Well, not in our village. There's not too many, but there are some that, migrated to Canada, also to this country, too.
And what prompted him to go to Canada, do you know?
Well, because of the poverty in the village over there, he couldn't get no job.
Well, why didn't he come to America?
Because I guess at that time that he couldn't get in to this country. As far as I know, I think at that time that your overseas Chinese, maybe they're just as well off going to Canada as coming to this country also.
Did he go to the East Coast or the West Coast?
No, he stayed at, as far as I know, that it's mostly in West Coast, in the Alberta province.
Oh, Alberta.
Yeah.
How about your mother? Did she?
Well, she was just a housewife, stay home and raise the family.
Which year were you born?
I was born in 1926.
Okay. And how many brothers and sisters?
I have three brothers and three sisters, and I have an older brother and a younger brother, so I'm right in the middle as far as the boys are concerned.
So altogether there were seven children?
No, six. Three and three.
Yeah,
I have two brothers besides myself. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. What language did you speak at home?
You mean over here or back in China?
Back in China.
We speak mostly, the native tongue.
Say-yup.
Say-yup. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And also after you came here.
To this country?
Yeah.
Well, mostly say-yup.
Awesome. When did you come here, by the way?
I came over late 1939. December 1939.
Mm-hmm. I see. What prompted you to be here?
Well, that was under my father's wishes, you know, because he figured that it would be a brighter future for me to able to get into this country and make a future for myself. Also help out financially, talk to family.
When you were in China, Did you go to school?
Oh, yes. I had, in the village, in the place where I was born, I had 5 years of it. In 1938, or early 1939, my father came back to visit the family. And then at that time, the Japan were just about overrun the countryside over there. So my father got the whole family out to Hong Kong. So I was in Hong Kong for about a year before I came over here. Yeah. Yeah, I went to school in Hong Kong too for several months before I came over here.
Mm-hmm. Did you learn English?
Well, yes and no. Basic, you know, ABC. That's about the extent of it.
They teach you in the school, or did you?
In school.
Even in the village, you went to.
Well, no, not in the village, but in Hong Kong. When I continued my schooling in Hong Kong in 1939, early part of 1939.
Back in the village, I presume you went to elementary school in
yes,
the village?
Yes, yes. I went as far as the fifth grade.
Mm-hmm. What sort of things did they teach you?
Oh, mostly basic things, you know, your Chinese writing and reading, mm-hmm. mathematics. It's, you know, from first grade to fifth grade, it's very limited to how much you were able to learn.
Okay, but it was not a standard practice to teach English.
When you get up to the sixth grade, which I didn't, attend back
mm-hmm.
there,
yeah.
But they do have a basic English over there,
mm-hmm.
in my school, anyway.
Mm-hmm. How many people were in your village?
Oh, we probably have about maybe 40 or 60, well, between 40 and 60 houses in the same village. So I really, I never give it a thought, really. Maybe a couple of hundred
mm-hmm.
or more.
Most of the families were Chows?
Oh, they're all Chows.
All
in Chows. One village is always all the, you always have the same last name in
that's
the same village.
That's how it was divided, according to last names?
Well, according to the village, unless you're with the same family name, your chances are you're not from the same ancestor, anyway.
When you arrived in the United States in 1939, which school did you go to? Or did you go to school?
Well, at first I came through the city of Seattle. I went to school there for about 6 months, and then I proceeded and came down to Los Angeles.
You must have gone through either San Francisco or some other ports.
No, I came through Seattle. At that time, they have
excuse me. I was thinking of Sacramento.
Yeah.
Is Seattle, were there many Chinese in Seattle at that time?
Well, there were quite a few then. They have a small Chinatown over there.
Your father decided not to go back to Alberta?
No, he was in Canada then.
Oh.
You know, in 39, right before they cut off the travel between Canada and Asia, you know, he already went back to Canada.
Ah.
And then later on, I proceeded to come to this country.
Why would he send you to a place far away from him?
Well, because for many years now that Canadian government never have any immigration law allow any Asian to enter the country. So when I was over there right after the war to visit him, the one of the youngest Chinese that I ran across, that what they would consider Shen Yang Lei, it's about over 40 years old because it's been over 20 years.
What was that word you said?
Shen Yang Lei, you know, this newly arrival.
Oh. But you said that your father went over to Canada because of the lax immigration laws.
No, lack of employment back in China.
Yeah, but instead of United States, he chose Canada because it was easy to immigrate there,
well,
no?
Well, of course, I really don't know the reason why he went over there, because I never asked him.
Oh, I...
But at later on, when he had a family, you know, like myself, that he decided to bring the children over here
mm-hmm.
to earn a livelihood, that he realized that... if he make a choice coming to the United States, and he had a better chance of bringing the children over instead of trying to buy a slot.
Buy a slot?
Well, in other words, to buy a paper to bring their own children over to this country. because legally that I cannot enter this country because I have no right to enter this country.
Let me get one thing straight. Your father, what was his status in Canada?
He was just a merchant.
Was he a legal immigrant?
Yeah, he was a legal immigrant.
Then, theoretically, he can bring over his children.
Mm-hmm. They have, in the old days, they have a lot of law discriminate against Asian people.
In America, yes. In Canada, I was not.
Yes, in Canada, especially in Canada.
Oh.
Yes, for over 20 years, they never allow any Asian into the country. Just like I said, the youngest Chinese that I ran across over there was already over 40 years old.
So your father went over before they started this restrictive law.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was easier for you to come through America, come to America.
Well, that was the only outlet, is to for him to buy a paper that I have to come into the country under false pretenses.
Ah, you were somebody else's son.
Right, right.
And that somebody else was an American citizen.
Right.
Was that practice very popular?
Well, I would say over the majority of people enter the country under that pretenses.
How much did he have to pay, do you remember?
As far as I know, I think we pay about $1,600 at that time, which is a lot of money then.
Yeah, an incredible amount.
And what name did you enter the country?
Well, the family name was Wong.
Oh, so you should be a Wong, or?
I was for a long time, for many years. In school, I used a family name of Wong,
uh-huh.
And into the service, I used the name as Wong.
Uh-huh.
And then after I got out of service, and then I had it legally changed to Chow because I, looking into the future, I would like my own children
uh-huh.
to have my own family name. So before I was ever married, I figured it'd be best to make a change then. So I had my family name changed from Wong to Chow legally.
Mm-hmm.
And then months later, and then I proceeded, went back to the old country, you know, went back to China.
You were the only one of the six children to come over here at that time?
At what time is that?
You 1939.
Mean, yes, I was the only one.
Your father singled you out?
No, my oldest brother, now he tried to get him to come over here, and evidently during the interrogation in Hong Kong, he goofed it. And now what they found out that he was under false pretenses.
Uh-huh.
So he never had a chance to come across.
Uh-huh.
And then I was the second son, so he proceeded to get me over.
I see. And did the rest of you eventually all come over?
And then right after I came over here, I befriended my so-called my paper father, the Wong,
right.
Mr. Wong,
yeah.
And he liked me tremendously, and I have a certain affection for him.
Uh-huh.
So we came sort of like pretty close friendship.
Uh-huh.
And during the war year, when I had my furlough, I usually go up to San Francisco and visit him because that's how much I thought of him.
Right.
I had no home over here anyway, so I just roomed in the countryside. Any city is home to me at that time. And I know at that time that I, on the family tree, on paper, he still has a son that is about the age of my younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
from my father, that he keep insisting to bring my younger brother over, so I had that in mind already, so mm-hmm. I talked to him about selling me that paper
mm-hmm.
for my younger brother, and then we finally agreed to a price, and then he said he would let me have that paper to bring my younger brother over. So
but
later
how about
on
his own son?
Well, he didn't have a son. See, when he went back to China at that particular year, and then when he re-entered the United States, he just told the immigration office that was a son being born to him. So later on in years, so see, he had that slot.
Oh,
is that able to sell. See, that's how all the Chinese came over anyway.
Uh-huh.
Of course, and then years later, I think it was back in 1951 or 52, I got my younger brother over too,
mm-hmm.
under the same pretenses.
Mm-hmm. When did you arrive in Los Angeles?
I came down here in early 1940.
Mm-hmm. You served in the army?
I was in the military service for 33 months, to be exact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what branch of service?
I was in the Army paratroop.
And you were drafted or volunteered?
Yeah, I was drafted.
You were a citizen then?
Well, naturally, when I entered the country,
oh,
under pretenses, and then when they let you enter the country, you're already a citizen.
Ah, I see.
What they call a naturalized citizen.
So, do you, when you came to Los Angeles, did you go to school?
Yes, I went to a special education school that being set up by the Board of Education for all these foreign students.
Oh, well, do they have a name?
Yeah, Central Junior High School.
Oh.
Right now it's the State Board of Education. Right there by China.
How many people were actually in Central Junior High participating in the same program?
Well, they have three different classes. They have beginner, intermediate, and advanced classes.
All English? I mean, they were all English classes?
Yes, mostly all English for foreign students. They're, I would say, maybe a third of it is Chinese and a lot of Japanese and a few from Mexico and maybe a few from Europe, you know,
mm-hmm.
Greek or other countries over there. But mostly it's all Asian students.
And the purpose of sending you to the school?
Because at my age, you know, I couldn't get in a regular level like the rest of the children at that time, so they have to start me with this, what they call the foreign adjustment department.
Mostly it's language handicaps, right?
Yeah, English and writing, mostly English.
Yeah, really either speaking or writing English.
Right, right.
And then after Central, where did you go?
Well, of course, I went through all the three level of classes over there, like the beginner and the intermediate or the advanced classes.
How long did
that
take?
Well, of course, the teacher will advance you according to how fast you can learn.
Right.
But at that time, fortunately, I was able to come up pretty fast.
Uh-huh.
And within a short period of time, I was already in advanced classes. And as I recollect, that teacher liked me, you know, quite a bit. So she advanced me to B9 classes after about a year or so.
Into the ninth
grade? The ninth grade in the regular classes.
Would that be still a junior high school or
that
was the first year of high school?
That was a junior high then. That's the same school, see.
I see. And so how long did, when was that? You came in 1940?
I would say that was about 40. Early part in 42. Let's see, 41, that's when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And during that period, I remember that all the, you know, week by week, your classes dwindled down because all the Japanese students were beginning to, you know, fresh out to the camps. So that must be, I would say, early 42, so I went to B9, the regular level classes. About the same time, I have friends that had a produce stand over in North Hollywood, and he was going into the service, and they need some worker over there to continue the business. So they offered me a job over there, and the pay was quite good at that during that time. So I went to North Hollywood. Actually, it was Studio City.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked over there as a produce clerk for them and went to school over there. And
in
that
Hollywood
school,
High School?
North Hollywood Junior High.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, I graduated from that junior high and I went to a high school in North Hollywood High.
North Hollywood High?
Yeah.
You were probably one of the very few Chinese in that school?
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, I don't even remember running across any Chinese at that particular school.
How did you feel at that time?
Well, I feel at home, you know. I didn't feel uneasy at all because I always like to mingle with American people anyway. And
they treated you as an equal?
Well, more or less. I don't know about their parents, how they feel about it, but I never feel I was out of place.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And you never experienced any kind of discrimination or hostility against you?
Not at that stage of the game. As far as the discrimination, this is very ironic. Years later, when I went into the service, and I was in the Army uniform, I went to Fresno to visit a friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
and the three of us went to a public park where there was a swimming pool, and that's when I ran across discrimination.
They wanted in, to swim?
Well, they put it nicely, you know, that says they thought that we might be there to cause trouble or anything. You know, they asked us not to swim over there. So that's the only time that I, to my memory, that I was really being discriminated against.
Well, that was around 46?
No. That's about, I would say, 43 or 44.
Okay. Yeah.
See, 46, the war was over by then. I was still in the uniform. At that time,
when did you
president.
Go into the Army?
I remember I was born in November, and they got me first part when I was 18. So 40.
42? 42
no,
or 43? Early
yeah,
43.
About 43.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you had to be 18 to
yeah.
join the
I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
40. I see. Were there many Chinese in the Army?
When I went to what they call boot camps, you know, the basic training camp over there. There's a few that I ran across.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I went in with a good friend of mine, Stanley, that we went into basic training together.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew this Stanley for a long time, ever since I entered the country, to the United States.
Oh, excuse me, one question. Did you graduate from North Hollywood High?
No, I didn't. I just went there for a few months, and then I got drafted.
So you completed 10th grade? Did you complete 10th
No,
grade?
I did not complete 10th grade.
Okay. And after you finished your term in the Army, did you come back to... Did they give you any provisions for finishing your education?
Oh, yeah. They have all kind of benefit you can take advantage of.
Yeah, but you probably started working after you came back.
When I came back from the Army, I have a relative on my grandmother's side. He owns a restaurant in Montana.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, he needed somebody up there to run his restaurant. So he enticed me to go up there.
Uh-huh.
And so I did.
And so you didn't go back to finish high school, right?
As a matter of fact, I did. I went to register in high school again as a 10th grader. And I realized at that time I was so much older than the rest of the classes, I really didn't have the time to waste, you know, to go through 3 years of high school.
Yeah.
And then I took the general education development test,
uh-huh.
which is offered to all the veterans. I guess it's offered to the everybody if you want to take them and get your high school diploma.
Diploma, right.
Well, anyway, I took that test and I passed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
so you were in effect a high school graduate.
On paper, yes. I have a high school diploma
uh-huh.
through that. And then I went to register and enter the a Catholic college in a small town in Helena, Montana.
Catholic? You are not Catholic.
I'm not Catholic. I wasn't Catholic then, but that was the only college in town.
Ah, I see. So you were in Los Angeles for a very brief period of
yes,
time,
yes.
right?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
From 40 to 43.
About 3 years.
Yeah, I see. And during that time you worked as a grocery produce clerk, and that was your only job?
Well, when I first came down to L.A., you know, I was offered a job as a helper and also go to school at that time.
And did you take it?
Well, yes.
Helper for what kind?
For in a grocery store.
A retail grocery store?
Retail grocery store, a small one.
Where was it?
At 27th and San Pedro Street.
I see. That's not too far from the produce, the wholesale.
Yeah, place. Yes, that's quite close. That's right.
during those 3 years that you were in LA, could you tell me which places you've lived in and how you supported yourself? Your father sent you the money mostly? Or?
Well, he sent some. In the little grocery store I work for, they have a warehouse right next to it, and they make a living quarter out of that warehouse.
You lived in the warehouse?
Well, yes.
They don't charge you any rent?
No. There's about all 5-6 of us. They're all young, you know, youngsters
you
like that.
You were only like 14?
Well, yeah, 13 or 14.
Yeah.
And then we just sleep in that warehouse over there. All 5-6.
That's in toilets,
yeah.
And those things.
One toilet and about 5-6 beds over there.
No, any shower facilities?
No. Well, they had a shower.
Kitchen?
Well, we eat in the market, you know, right next door.
The market had a kitchen?
Yes.
Did they live in the market, the people who owned the market?
Well, some of the people who owned the market live right next door with us, or with me. And then the older one, he had a family, you know, a wife and a child, so he lived in an apartment above the market.
Yeah, that was a common practice to live very close to or on top of.
That's true, yeah. At that time, nobody got car, you know. And,
let's see.
Actually, the business is sort of like a partnership thing. There's about, I don't know, 4 or 5 partners opened up this business.
They were all Chinese?
Yes, all Chinese.
All from the same village?
More or less. They're not from the same village that that I was from, but they're from the village of, they're from the village of my father's partner.
Oh.
That's how I get to look for that place, because we're my father's partner.
Your father was in Alberta all this time.
Yes, I know. But he had a partner in business. And then his partner get in this group, this partnership, to open up this grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when my father asked his partner, see if they can use me. So that's how come I came from Seattle to LA, mainly all that.
How did your father's business partner was never in the same physical location as your father? I mean,
the same, but the thing is, he had a son in Seattle too, working as a houseboy.
Right.
And then he got he figured sooner or later his boy had to get into business.
Right.
So when this when one of his relatives that suggested to him to open up a grocery store in LA to form that partnership,
mm-hmm.
So he just, you know, put in whatever amount it was. I think at that time was $500 to form that partnership to open this grocery store.
500?
Well, they say a partnership of 500 each. So you got
altogether.
5 or 6, whatever amounts it was. I didn't know exactly how much involved, but anyway. So after they opened up this grocery store, and then my father approached his partner, see if this grocery store can use me as a student and as a worker in there, so I can
father,
learn the trade in the grocery store.
In the grocery store?
No, he did not.
Only his partner?
Yes. Actually, his partner put in the money, so his son able to get in as one of the owner and learn the business trade.
Mm-hmm. But you got in just as a helper.
Yeah, as a helper, and then go to school at the same time. That's how that's when I was going to Central Junior High School then.
And they did not pay you, but they provided you with food and shelter.
Yes. At that time, that was they're doing you a big favor then in order to accommodate you like that, because jobs were hard to come by.
So you really grew up by yourself after?
Well, more or less, because after I worked in that place for several months, and the Chinese that sold this partner the business, he reopened another business elsewhere in LA.
Uh-huh.
And then he liked me so well that he offered me a job to work for him,
mm-hmm.
after school, work in that market.
Another market, second
he,
market.
Yeah, that's his second market, right.
Mm-hmm.
And he offered me $5 a week and 7 days a week after school.
How much is that? I mean, in today's dollars, would you say?
Well, I don't know. I remember I can go to I can go to a movie for a dime, and the streetcar with 3 cents a ride then.
Quite a bit?
$5 quite a bit. You can go to Chinatown and have a hot meal in the restaurant for about 35, 45 cents.
Uh-huh.
Which I used to do often when I was going to Central Junior High over there. We used to come down to Chinatown and have lunch over there.
I see. Were all your friends Chinese?
Yes, I would say.
Did you have friends of any other nationality back either in Central Junior High?
No, I would say no, not at that time. Well, because of the language difficulties and the different ethnic background, you don't even try to befriend, there's hardly any blacks over there at that time, but mostly all Mexicans. The school itself, because that was in a Mexican neighborhood.
And the friends, the Chinese friends you had, all spoke Seyit?
Yes. Majority of them worked in a laundry.
I see. Yeah. And they were all your age, 13?
Oh, yeah.